The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So underrated. Radio
X. Thank you very much for listening to the Evening Show podcast. I'm Gordon Smart. Producer Vin is here.
Evening, morning, afternoon.
We've got another voice to add in as well. Jess, who's been supporting us?
Hello.
Say supporting us. You've been holding my hand, keeping Vin company. Just generally sort of caring for both of us, really.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying it, Jess?
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Good, yeah.
It's good.
Now very much part of the Radio X family.
Yeah, I like it.
I see her as competition. No. I'm wary.
What do you mean, your replacement, you mean?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, good, good. How's Johnny Vaughan been?
He shouted at me a bit.
Did he? Oh, welcome to the club.
I think he told someone to spit in my tea as well. So.
Yeah, but the important thing is if he did it or didn't do it.
Oh, well, I don't know.
There you go. He's in your head.
I would see that as a real term of endearment. Johnny spat in your tea. Anyway, welcome aboard, Jess. Thank you for your help over the last few weeks as well. It's been a pleasure having you on the old ones and twos.
You're welcome.
It's a busy one this week as well, isn't it, Vim? We've got a lot going on.
Good week.
Started off strong on Monday, didn't we, with Doves making a comeback.
Yeah, it's exciting, wasn't it?
It is exciting. Listen, they are my era. I don't know if you're probably still a bit too young for
Doves. Well, so yeah, I never saw them, but yeah. I'm a fan. They've got some amazing tunes.
Brilliant, brilliant live.
They were one of those bands that I discovered through... like FIFA or Pro yes. Evo or whatever.
Or was it Pounding that was
I think
on there?
Pounding was on there, yeah. And I was like, oh, wow, this sounds... Because it's quite a different, quite a big... It's sort of similar to Elbow, I guess,
yeah,
in my head.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, the album's at Some Cities, wasn't it? Black and White Town, all of that. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. So we had Jez from the band talking about the big comeback, which was completely spoiled by Noel announcing it on Radio X about an hour and a half before. But you know what as well I love about them is their comeback gig, loads of people want to see them. Their comeback gig was for Teenage Cancer Trust. Not putting the money in their pocket, giving it away. I think that's absolutely... and utterly phenomenal in this day and age. Good on him. AJS.
Yeah, good guys.
Correct. Joe Lycett as well. Now, again, it makes me feel old because I think I'm probably just about old enough to be Joe Lycett's dad.
What are you on about?
I think he was probably born in about 1996, wasn't he?
He's not younger than me.
He is.
No, he's not.
He is, isn't he?
No, I think he's in his 30s.
He looks about 14.
Yeah, he looks about 14, but I think he's in his early 30s.
What a great guest, though, Vin. He's a very, very funny man.
He's a cheeky man, isn't he?
Can imagine Christmas with Joe Lycett. Just sarcasm in absolutely every moment from start
to finish. I reckon a lot of sangria as well.
Yeah, yeah. He was amazing the other night at Graham Norton, and we were lucky as well because he was on fine form when he came in to see us. So Joe Lycett.
Plus another set of comedy legends.
Yes, League of Gentlemen. Now, Vin, I first saw them at Edinburgh Festival when they were using sellotape to hold their noses up.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, this is so ridiculous.
So weird.
It was actually quite disturbing the first time I saw it.
When I first watched it, I was scared, yeah.
I think this is safe to say on the podcast, actually, but I remember one of the props was a Rude magazine called Dog's Arses, and it was just a dog's bottom with a little asterisk over it. And I thought, this will never go on the telly, and it's on the opening sequence of every single episode of League of Gentlemen.
Amazing.
They are fantastic. And as well as that, a classic album this week, one of the best we've done, I think, Boy, Let's Dance, 1983. How was that for you, Vin, listening back to it?
Because I had so much fun.
It was good
so
laugh,
much fun.
Wasn't it?
I was going back through. I listened to Cat People on repeat about six times.
Yeah, I listened to the album. I think it was three or four times on Monday, and then I started to wonder where does Dancing in the Streets figure in the David Bowie canon? Yeah, that's just as Michael Caine always said: for every Get Carter, there is a Jaws 4. Anyway, please enjoy the Evening Show podcast, and thank you very much once again to Jess.
Thank you.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
We have a returning gentleman of this parish who used to be part of the Josh Widdicombe Show, I believe. He is also a talk show regular. He's on every panel show. He's got a DVD out just in time for Christmas. Mr. Joe Lycett.
Hello there. I'd forgotten I was on Josh Widdicombe's show, but I was quite regularly. I think I had to... I think they sort of started to eke me out when... and they didn't eke me out, but I remember things started to get a bit tricky when Margaret Thatcher died. And every week I would ring in with my big news story of the week.
Yeah.
And that was... Everyone was talking about that and nothing else was happening. But there was some golf happening.
Right.
So what I did is I started the link by saying, this week's big story, everyone's been talking about it. A little old lady... who everyone knows has been watching the golf and sort of had to like ease my way into it like that. It was so fun doing that show. He doesn't do it anymore, does he?
It's a shame. No, Josh, he had a great run at it, but he beautifully handed over to Ellis James and John Robbins.
Oh, yeah, and they're like smashing it.
Doing really well. Yeah, something like 12.5 million downloads of their podcast.
I went, I was literally walking through town and I was on my way back home and I bumped into them and they were going to the Queen... Yeah, of course, the opening of Queen thing. And then I was in a shop with Queen stuff with John Robbins for ages. And I thought, this isn't fun for me, actually. I don't want to be here. So, yeah, so they're lovely boys, aren't they?
Yeah, they're
good. What a lovely family at Radio X. Do you all go for, like,
we do,
dinners?
Actually. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we. Oh, the Christmas night's not far off.
Oh, God, is that carnage?
Well, Johnny Vaughan's involved. So,
yeah, good luck to you.
I mean, he is a deviant. It's as simple as that. But Joe, listen, you're here for a business reason, right? Because you've got a DVD out. You No, I want to know about this. You've dreamt up another brilliant pun.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How long did that one take you?
I don't know. Well, this is the thing. I don't really do them myself anymore because people were so keen to give them to me. So, yeah, this one's called I'm About to Lose Control and I Think Joe Likes It. But there's a few in the tank, but not loads, actually. Someone suggested that Cardi B's new I Like It Like That, whether that could be the next one.
Suits you.
It does suit me.
Yeah.
I am very Cardi B-esque.
You are. There's a lot of similarities with you, Cardi.
Very similar in lots of ways, really. That was strange.
Well, Cardigan.
Yes, I'm Cardigan. Yeah.
Joe, can I give you some of mine? Because as a former tabloid journalist, I think I've got a little handle on the pun.
Oh, yes, please.
Now, the best one, I think, is As You Lice It.
Oh, very nice.
It could be Joe Lycett's take on Shakespeare, As You Lice It.
As You Lice It. That could, yes, because it feels dignified and intellectual, doesn't it? It feels like if I did a show that had that style, I would call it As You Lice It. As it happens, my current show is... There's not a lot of dignity in there, to be
honest.
That's
what I love about you. I was trying to pack a suitcase one night and you were on TV, your last stand-up tour. And I ended up going to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning because I was enjoying it so much.
Oh,
it was brilliant.
Bless you.
It was really good.
Yes, I'm a bit of an idiot, aren't I?
You are. Yeah, and a lovely idiot.
A happy idiot.
When you reach your fitness DVD stage as well, I've got a couple of options for you. Ready, Steady Joe.
Oh, lovely. That's
ready for
nice.
That? G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
That could work. Come and have a Joe if you think you're hard enough.
That's nice.
Could be good when you sort of finally take up UFC.
Well, you say that. I've been doing boxing.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah.
I bet it's posh boxing. It's co-box, isn't it?
What box?
Oh, I thought that was like the posh boxing class that you might go to. No?
I don't know. No, I go to... So there's a dude in... a dude. I don't know. I never say dude. I don't know why I said dude. I think I'm trying to be like, yeah, I go boxing. There's a grown man who teaches boxing and I do one-on-one sessions with him.
Really?
I've done five and I'm total pacifist. I'm not interested in violence whatsoever. But I tell you what, punching feels great.
Has he hit you yet, Joe?
No, he sort of makes me dodge them.
Yeah, slipping and ducking.
Occasionally courts. Yeah, slipping and ducking.
Yeah.
And then I punch him on the pads.
Good.
It feels great.
Do you do the fitness DVD?
Yeah, maybe Joe's box. Maybe I should actually just go boxing.
Joe Box. Right, more from Joe Lycett in just a second. We'll find out more about the DVD. Actually, Joe, do you have a song request for us on Radio X?
Oh, can I have anything by Foles?
I think we can get some Foles for you.
Thank you.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Bit of Foles for you there on Radio X, as selected by the brilliant comedian Joe Lycett, the king of wonderful and warm sarcasm. Can you put that on the DVD at the back?
Yeah.
Yes.
If we do another run of them, then I'll add that quote on.
Joe, I meant to ask you this the last time you came in, but I forgot. Never mind the brilliant gigs and the great stuff I've seen you doing. I want to know about the worst gig you have ever done, the one that wakes you up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat.
I did a lot of comedians and famous people, I suppose, will do like corporate gigs where they'll be paid lots of money to entertain rich people or the people that work for rich people. And I did a corporate. I think I've only done two or three in my life, and this one that I'm about to tell you about is the reason why I never do them anymore. I was booked to do a gig on a Virgin flight between Edinburgh and London. And the reason I did it is I agreed to do it because they said, oh, the people getting on the flight know that they're getting onto a flight where there's going to be some comedy and it'll be properly run and whatever. Got there and they didn't know. And it was, I had to do the gig using a speaker that they'd brought with them that was powered by AA batteries because I couldn't use the tannoy thing because that's illegal or something. And so I just stood up in the middle of the flight and then just started doing a gig. And if you imagine people going between Edinburgh and London, it's mostly business people who just are getting on with their work. And then I've got to stand up, and they're filming it all over the flight and all the Virgin Brandons everywhere. And I was meant to do 10 minutes, and I did something like 2 minutes and 43 seconds and then sat back down. And then they said, oh, we didn't quite, because you didn't do the 10 minutes, didn't get enough footage, but can you just stand up and pretend that you're doing it?
Oh.
And so then I stood up and was pretending to do the gig and then sat back down. And then because I was at the front of the plane and they needed to do some other stuff, then when the plane landed, all of the people on the flight walked past me to get off the flight. And for that reason, I have probably lost out on thousands of pounds of corporate work because I will never do them again. Because
that was bad. That's a bad experience.
Horrible.
Thanks for sharing that, Joe. I really appreciate it.
It was actually, that was like kind of form of therapy, actually, sort of saying it, because your audible sort of tension.
Yeah.
I feel like I've put it onto you and I've got rid of it now.
It's good. I know. I'm wearing it. I'm wearing it now. Yeah. It's an uncomfortable
suit.
It's
horrible, all that. Like, yeah. And I think it's the fact that as you're doing it, you're going, like, I should have just said no to this. I tell you what, they did give me two flights to anywhere in the world but Sydney, and I went to
Brisbane. Yes, as far as possible.
Yeah, Brisbane. We went to America, actually. I did a road trip around America. Oh, so actually, that was really lovely.
Yeah, it's a nice cathartic way to deal with it. More from Joe Lyson in just a second on The Evening Show.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
I've got a brilliant Sunday afternoon guest for you. Her name is Sharon Latham. She's a Northern Lass, a Manchester City fan. But you will know her as Noel Gallagher and his High Flying Birds official tour photographer. Shaz, I've been trying for ages to get you and you're finally here. How are you, madam?
I am very good and I'm very, very glad to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you, Shaz. I've been looking forward to this because I knew the book was in the making for a long time. Yeah. It's finally here. It's sitting in front of me and it smells brilliant for a start.
That was the first thing I said. It absolutely smells amazing.
It's great, isn't it?
But you can't do that digitally, can you?
You can't. Can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel, but you can tell us what it's like on tour with Noel. The book's called Any Road Will Get Us There If We Don't Know Where We're Going, and there's some lovely words from Noel that open the book. They say, down the years, I've been lucky enough to work with some of the finest photographers in the world, and I would put Sharon right up there at the very, very top. I mean, he doesn't give out compliments, does he?
No, not
so you'll take that, won't you?
I'll take that every day of the week, yeah, definitely.
He loves you, Shaz. He loves you. Now, Shaz, what has this experience been like? Because you've known Noel for 10 years. Tell us how you got to know him, first of all.
I got to know him obviously through Manchester City. He's an obsessive Man City fan.
As are you.
I am, yeah, completely. And he was on a photo shoot with Carlos Tevez, and that was the first time I met him. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I just kept bumping into him along the lines, and we became good friends.
Yeah.
And then when I actually left in 2016, I rang him up and said, hiya, you're going on tour, can I come?
Yeah.
And he was like, all right, yeah. So that was 2016. Then 17, he was obviously doing the album.
Yeah.
And then 18, I did the same thing.
Yeah, brilliant.
Hiya.
Yeah.
Can I come on tour?
Yeah. Your pictures of him are absolutely brilliant. Now, what's the difference between taking a picture of a finely honed athlete like, for instance, Vincent Kompany, a fine figure of a human being, and a beer-soaked, cider-soaked Noel Gallagher the morning after the night before?
Lack of clothes.
Yeah.
There's less clothes on a footballer. Do you know what? The key thing in all of it is because their lives are so in the public eye is trust.
Yeah.
And I think Noel trusts me implicitly. Never, ever going to let anything go out. And plus, he wouldn't let anything go out that makes him look ridiculous.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I've not taken anything that makes him look ridiculous.
No.
And it's the same with the footballers. They covet trust and security and privacy. Yeah.
So. You've definitely got that as well. I mean, I see your relationship with the players at City and they love you and you've become part of that family.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still close friends with most of the players from while I was there, from even to Kolarov over in Italy and Edin Dzeko and even Mario still texts.
Oh, amazing. Balotelli.
Balotelli.
Oh, phenomenal. What a great... What's your best Mario Balotelli story very quickly?
Oh, there's so many. Honestly, there are so many.
Yeah.
I think the whole fireworks saga was one of the biggest ones because I was there the day after it happened.
Right.
And we were like, but we're going to be doing a fireworks campaign with you now. And I had to take the photograph for the fireworks campaign. So it was like literally the day after his house had had the fire engine and all the rest of it. I'm there taking a photograph with the poster of him advocating fireworks safety. I was like, whoa.
What is the approval process with Nolan? How do you do it? Because I've got this horribly wrong. So horribly wrong. He's still angry about a picture in 2008 that we took in Edinburgh on Hogmanay when he played with Kasabian. And we're all totally banjoed in the picture. I look great. It's not the best picture of him, and it still brings it. He only remembers the bad stuff.
Yeah. Well, the key thing with Noel is literally after every time I'd take a set of photographs, I'd send a selection for him.
Yeah.
And he would literally, let's say he did the gig and I sent him 150 pictures. Yeah. He'd approve however many that he wanted to go out on social media and to use for the book. Yeah. So it was literally a night process every time after a gig.
Right, more from the wonderful Sharon Latham, Shaz Latham, in just a second. Noel Gallagher's official tour photographer. After this epic track from Mr. Gallagher himself, this is Holy Mountain.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Noel Gallagher and his high-flying birds, the mighty Holy Mountain. Shaz Latham's here. All right, Shaz.
All right.
You're one of those people, I love seeing you, because it always means there's something exciting happening. Some of my best memories, right, are your photographs. You took one at City the day they won the league. Aguero! That
oh,
day.
God, yeah. Yeah.
Johnny Marr, me and Noel. And that is one of my most prized possessions. So thank you, Shaz.
No, not a problem then. There's one that I took of Noel as well on the pitch with Aguero, and he's got that in his front.
And he's got the captain's armband. And,
yeah.
What a special day.
Yeah,
what
it was,
a special
it was
day.
Amazing.
Now, Shannon, you've got this book out. It's absolutely incredible. We love
thank
it. But there's something I need you to help me with. My book. Right, I'm writing a book called Slash Gordon. It's a crap pun, I acknowledge that. But it's a lowbrow toilet book about awkward encounters in the bathroom, right? So you tend to find yourself in a position doing my job where you find yourself having to make conversation with somebody famous in the loo. Noel has answered this question, and his answer was Brian Ferry. And he claims, Noel claims he was whistling Jealous Guy while Brian Ferry was having a pee.
No!
Now, in the book, you already have kind of a Slash Gordon story because you took a picture of Noel in the toilet.
Did you?
You're braver than anybody I've ever met.
Honestly.
So have you got an entry from Slash Gordon? Bearing in mind you were the Manchester City official football team photographer years and years and years.
I mean, the one with Noel is iconic.
Tell us that story, because it's an incredible part of the book as well.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is consummate professional. He always has a warm-up room. But some of the venues in America are so small and so weird and set up backstage, there was nowhere on this occasion for him to warm up.
Yeah.
So he literally went into the men's loos. And I watched him go in and I thought, no, he's not going to do that, is he? And he left the door ajar slightly, so I subtly pushed it open further without him looking because he had his back turned round and stepped back and used a long lens and then got him while he was singing in the toilet.
Yeah, that isn't a euphemism either. He was just singing.
I got him while he was singing in the toilet,
And you got it signed off. It's in the book as well.
Yeah, but he wouldn't put it out on social media to start with. He was like, no, let's just leave that one. And then I was like, this has got to go in the book because it shows that you're a consummate professional.
Well, you've done a great job with the Little Menace from Little Venice.
Thank
you. And you've done a great job with the City Guys. Shaz, everything you do, I just pour over it. I love your social media. And
thank you.
If anybody wants to go and have a look at Shaz's social media, it is Selfie Guide Shaz, am I right?
Yeah, Selfie Guide Shaz on Instagram and also then Snapper Shaz on Twitter.
I tell you what, Christmas is around the corner. So if you've got an Oasis fan in your family or somebody who likes Noel, go and buy it. Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. Any road will get us there if we don't know where we're going, with the most incredible pictures from the lovely Sharon Latham.
Thank you very much, Gordon.
I just want a picture taken, Sharon.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Joe Lycett has fortunately stayed around. I'm glad you've not left.
Yes, I have. I mean, I am still in distress based on the last story I told you about, but I'm pushing through.
Joe, I want to talk to you about art. Because
yes,
that seems to be
artist.
The crux of it. You are an artist now. Mm. £12 million, anybody bought the sculpture?
£12.5 million.
Apologies.
So
not sold on Black Friday either.
Didn't sell on Black... No, I missed a trick there.
You
I could have done it on Black Friday. Yes, I made a sculpture which I submitted for a laugh to the Royal Academy Summer Exhibition. Didn't expect it to get in. It was Harry Hill who told me to do it because he submits stuff and he's a legit, really good artist. And accepted the piece and it was in the Royal Academy amongst other incredible sculptures. Like there's one of the Queen that was sort of, it was like a widescreen version sculpture though of the Queen.
Yeah.
And you could walk around, it's a massive thing and it's just stunning the way it was done. And then my little piece of it, like stupid idiot work in the corner.
And it's just a second, we're going to do the Joe Lycett wine glass picture, if that's all right.
Oh yeah.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Joe, how are you going to celebrate Christmas?
a lot of food. I always get into a food coma from the lunch and then lie down for a short duration and then get back up to make a turkey sandwich and then repeat the coma. That is celebrating to me. And a bowl of 6 Weetabix.
Oh.
I love Weetabix.
Sugar on top? Milk on top? How would you do it?
I'd do it with probably a soy milk.
This is important.
And maybe a bit of cream.
What's the worst present you've given and the worst present you've received?
Oh, I've given some awful presents. I don't know what the worst present is that I've given. The worst one I received was a mug with a car on it. That was when I was a kid and my auntie gave me a mug with a car on it. Worst one that I've given... Oh, it could probably be one this year. Like, I normally get things wrong for Dad. Tell you what, Dad, I bought him a wallet that I bought him the year before.
Twice.
Yeah, same wallet.
Joel, listen, the DVD is out right now, isn't it? And you can get it in other digital formats as well,
yes,
am I right?
Yes, it's on Skybox and all those things.
I've had it for 2 days,
yeah,
and I suddenly realised I don't have a DVD player or any means whatsoever to play it. Yeah. Even in the Radio X office today, I came in early to watch it.
Yeah.
Nobody could find a way to play it to me.
No, well, this is the thing. So DVDs are a dying, if not dead, format. It is also available for digital download
and cassette.
I'll tell you for what, and cassette. Yes, cassette's back for some. Why are cassettes back?
I don't know.
People need to get over themselves. Yeah. I'll tell you for why. So obviously, the current trend is to release your specials.
Yes.
I call them now on things like Netflix or Amazon Prime, all of that. All of those streaming services want it to have an international appeal,
right?
My show features Paul Chuckle quite heavily.
Yeah.
And I thought he was well known around
globally.
The world.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who he is. So I've written a show essentially about Paul Chuckle, and he's ruined. So please buy the DVD.
Remind me of the pun again.
It's I'm about to lose control, and I think Joe Lycett.
It's phenomenal, Joe. It's lovely to see you. Thanks so much for coming in.
A pleasure as always.
The great Joe Lycett, flying high, doing brilliantly, and we're thrilled for him.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Massive news today for anybody who loves the music we play on Radio X. Doves are back, and I'm thrilled to say that Jez Williams is joining us by the medium of FaceTime right now. Welcome back, Jez.
Hello. Hi,
I'm good. Can you paint a picture for our listeners who haven't got the joy of FaceTime at the moment? Where are you in the world right now?
Yeah, well, I think we're near a place called we're near Worcester. Put it that way, it's
right?
Simple to say Worcester. Yeah, in a rehearsal place. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're rehearsing. Are you rehearsing just old material, Jez, or are you rehearsing some new stuff as well?
That's a kind of interesting question, but we're rehearsing the old songs at the moment. Yeah, we're just in the room, just remembering how does that one go? What key's it in? We're at that stage at the moment, real early doors at the moment. Yeah.
So just paint a little picture for us on that as well. Like, so you and your brother Andy, and then Jimmy as well. Who's struggling the most, and who's got it sort of ingrained into the muscle memory, all the old material the best?
I reckon we're all sort of, if you can, let's just break it down to, we're at the stage where we sound like a fifth form band. Probably in 2 weeks' time, we aim to be the sound of a sixth form band. Maybe 6 to 7 weeks, we sound like a semi-pro band. And we're just gradually going to work our way up to sounding how we used to sound. That's the plan at the moment. That's what we've got on the... there's an old blackboard we'll be scribbling on, sort of scores out of 10, where we're up to.
So Doves are back. We're thrilled to say that they're back. And there's a very good reason Jez is on the phone as well, because some new dates have been announced. Jez, would you like to tell us the 3 dates that you have announced this afternoon?
Right, well, my manager sent me the dates because I can't remember anything. So basically, the first thing that we're really excited about is Teenage Cancer Trust. Now, that's... we've done this before, actually, a long time ago, around about 2003. We obviously Roger Daltrey, it's his night, and he puts it together, and yeah, it's just it's unquestionably brilliant cause. So we thought it would be a great idea to use that as a focus for such a great cause to go back and on the road of reforming. So yeah, that was our first really important date.
That's the 29th of March as well, next year. Always through the week of March. At the Albert Hall.
Manager email. Yeah, there you go. 29th of March, yeah.
Great.
And then Noel, a good friend of ours, wanted us to do a couple of gigs as well with him. So we're doing Manchester on the 7th of June. And then we're going to do a Dublin one on the 16th as well. So we're really, really looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Three massive gigs to come back to as well. And three great venues as well with a lot of significance. So Albert Hall, Heaton Park, and then Malahide Castle as well. You're not coming back and sort of starting off easily, are you?
No, we're not. We must be bonkers. I'm really wanting to hustle for a couple of warm-ups before we go to the Royal Albert Hall because, it's going to be interesting. It's great cold into that, you know what I mean? I'm going to need to take a few pairs of underpants with me on that one. But, yeah, no, we're working towards... I'm trying to hustle, man, for some warm-ups, yeah.
Oh, it's a brilliant day. It's a brilliant day. So more from Doves in just a second, but right now we're going to have an absolute classic. This is Pounding on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was Doves and Pounding on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. Jez Williams is on the phone by the medium of FaceTime. Just told us about three gigs that are happening. You've got Heaton Park with Noel and Malahide Castle with Noel and the High Flying Birds. And also Royal Albert Hall, Teenage Cancer Trust, on the 29th of March, which will be such a special gig. And like you say, you've got a long history there, and also a long history with Noel. You know, I'm sure I've seen you supporting Oasis a couple of times over the years.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. It'll be a bit different this time
around. You know, after what year? I couldn't tell you. Yeah. But we definitely have. And we did Etihad, the city ground. I can't give you years, but yeah, it's... We, you know, big man city supporters, so there's that, and there's the being brought up in Manchester, there's that connection as well, you know.
Yeah, so. that date slots in perfectly after the football season, after Champions League, after anything that could get in the way with the fixtures. Anyway, all planned by Noel and Doves.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now listen, Jez, there was an online petition earlier this year to try and get the band back together. Did that play any part at all?
We did hear about the online petition, which is just amazing. It's so flattering. Yeah. Hearing that actually people out there still care, so we were kind of it gave us a nice feeling, you know, that people actually give a crap, you know.
Yeah.
But so that was quite sort of heartwarming. And then I wouldn't, maybe you could probably argue that it was a sort of accumulation of this and that and this and that and everything falling into the right place. Just at this time, it just felt, the time feels right, and I don't know why. I don't want to break it down too much, but it just feels right at the moment to do this.
Because you always said it was a hiatus. If you could cast your mind back to that last show, how did you sort of part ways after that show? What was it like? Was it just like, look, let's get it back going again at some point soon, or did it feel like a proper goodbye then?
It felt like a proper goodbye, but we were, I don't know, we never said. That's it, it's over, because there's quite a lot of bands that sort of get dramatic, right, that's it, and then they go, oh, you know what, actually this is the farewell tour, no, this year's the farewell tour, you know what, we're going to do another farewell year.
Yeah.
I don't fancy getting pulled into that trap, so we never actually said we'd call it a day. However, yeah, the last gig was 2010 at the Warehouse, Manchester Warehouse, and we just felt we were knackered, you know, toured too much. Mm-hmm. Felt like we're on that carousel, album, tour, and it just, it just got too much for us. Mm-hmm. So it felt like we needed that break sort of artistically as well. We wanted to try things out for ourselves outside the three-headed monster that is Doves, yeah.
So can you tell us that exact moment where you knew this was going to happen and you were going to come back and do more shows?
Yeah, well, it's sort of bizarrely, we kind of got together. I mean, went for a coffee, actually. It was quite dignified, you know, quite sort of sobering moment. We kind of just looked at each other, and that sort of knowing nod that we kind of spent too many years together. We sort of knew what that nod meant. That nod meant, yeah, we're putting the band back together in a sort of Spinal Tap, if you want to frame it as a Spinal Tap moment. Yeah, it was, really, over a couple of coffees and that, yeah, it was quite clean. It was a clean meeting.
Happy days. Well, it's great news. Absolutely brilliant news. As we said, there's two dates with No. So we'll play a little bit of No right now on Radio X. What do you think of No's solo material, by the way? Because it's completely different from the Oasis stuff. Right up Dove Street by.
I've always really respected Noel and what he's, you know, I've obviously, yeah, really dug his albums, you know. You know, it made a lot of sense for Noel to sort of carve his own path out, yeah?
Yeah.
That's brilliant, yeah.
It's time for Doves to get a scissor player as well, I think.
Just like... We'll get some spoons in. You don't want to copy. We'll do some spoons.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. I've listened to this one 3 times today. It's so good. David Bowie, Let's Dance, his 15th album, released in April 1983, so it's 35 years old. It sold over 10 million copies, number one in the UK, of course, number four in America, and it featured the number one singles, Let's Dance, and the number two single, China Girl and Modern Love. Brilliant, brilliant songs. It was nominated for the 1984 Album of the Year Grammy and didn't win. Great pub quiz question. Imagine David Bowie slightly upset that he didn't win. What did he lose out to? Michael Jackson's Thriller. It's not bad. It's not embarrassing missing out to that. It features Let's Dance, Modern Love, China Girl, Cat People and Criminal World, amongst others. Co-produced by the genius that is Nile Rodgers from Chic, and was another Bowie expedition into funk and soul. Now, Bowie himself called it a refocusing of young Americans. We're talking to Johnny Vaughan earlier on about it, and he said it's the first time you'd really seen David Bowie without any makeup on, just as himself. Now, apparently Bowie chose Nile Rodgers to produce the album because he wanted some accessible hit singles. Worked formula, that one, didn't it? The story goes, he turned up at Nile's apartment, he had this picture in his hand of Little Richard in a red suit, getting into a Cadillac, and he said, "Nile, darling, that's what I want my album to sound like." Brilliant, isn't it? Unusually for Bowie, he didn't play any instruments at all on the album, just sang. The legendary funk guitarist Stevie Ray Vaughan was the man enlisted by Bowie to play on the record, and he did it beautifully. There is a version of China Girl on the album, a tune originally from Iggy Pop's debut album, The Idiot. Now, please get in touch with your memories of this album. I was 3 years old, so my earliest memories were David Bowie looking like David Bowie when this came out. Really, really special times. All those songs, particularly China Girl, very early memories for me. But what are yours? 83936 and at Radio X. So two songs for you from that album. I've got Modern Love in just a second, but first, a song I listen to at least once, probably twice, every single week of my life. This is Let's Dance.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
That was a treat, wasn't it? I just want to play the full album now. Let's Dance, David Bowie, our classic album tonight from April 1983, 35 years ago. You just heard Modern Love there, the opening track, third single. It became an absolute staple in Bowie's tour sets and a massive fan favourite. Still one of the best tunes you can spin at an indie disco as well, by the way. Let's Dance, before that, which was the lead single, we watched the video to that at the same time as listening to it. Unbelievable. Go and have a little look if you get a chance. It gave the name to Bowie's following tour, the Serious Moonlight Tour. Great name. The demo was the first time Nile Rodgers thought his partnership with Bowie would be a success. He said he turned the song into something that the entire world would be dancing to. Got that right, didn't he? It was the blueprint for the whole album. Now listen to that. Song you can hear there in the background. It's Cat People, Putting Out Fire. It's amazing, isn't it? Originally written and recorded with Giorgio Moroder for the film Cat People. Bowie re-recorded it for Let's Dance. It's got two huge guitar solos you can hear. Stevie Ray Vaughan. Oh, peak 80s, that is. Peak 80s. Now, the album got a reissue in 1995, and it featured the Queen collaboration Under Pressure. What we were slightly confused about, though, was where Dancing in the Streets fits into this. Not on this album, let me tell you that. Lots of lovely messages tonight. Alex Hawkins, love Let's Dance an awful lot. I would in agreement, Alex. And Denise Inglesby sent us a lovely story. She said, "I remember bringing Let's Dance home from work the day it came out. Roasting hot day. I've been waiting for it to come out. Bought it in Woolies on my lunch. Went to Benidorm that summer in 1983. Let's Dance, China Girl, blasting out from all the clubs. The best summer. And she goes on to say, Serious Moonlight was my first Bowie tour. Another roasting hot day at Milton Keynes Bowl. That must have been in 1983-84. Amazing. Thanks, Denise. Thank you, Alex, for those messages. Loved that one tonight. Join me for another classic album next Monday.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Chez, can I ask you, I'm writing a book at the moment called Slash Gordon, right? And it's about awkward encounters in the bathroom with famous people. I've actually found myself next to Jimmy a couple of times when you were supporting Oasis, but have you ever found yourself making awkward conversation in a bathroom with somebody famous that I can add to the book?
You know what, funnily enough, I did share a moment in the toilet with Company, the City player.
Oh, Vincent Company?
Yeah. And I think they were all in a bit of a bad mood because they'd been dragged back from their holidays to do a new kit for the season at GMEX, and we were playing that. So I just went, oh, I bet you're psyched for the new season. He looked actually quite depressed, actually. So I just sort of left him to it. But that's the only thing that I can spring to mind of recent times. Yeah.
I was going
to
say, Jez, he's quite intimidating company as well, Big Vinny.
Yeah, I mean, he was quite mellow, but he looked a bit peed off because he'd been dragged back from his holidays. So I just sort of left him to it, really.
Oh, that's going straight in the book, though. Absolutely brilliant, in the Man City section. Right, more from Jez in just a little second on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Jez Williams from Doves is on the show tonight, announcing three dates next year, which are all my friends are going bananas about this as well. Doves are back. I think I remember one of your last gigs at Festival Hall in London, the Royal Festival Hall. That was a special one. When was the last show you played together?
It was at the Manchester Warehouse Project in 2010, over the summertime.
Right, okay.
That's all I can remember.
That'll do. That'll do.
Yeah, right.
Now, Jez, you mentioned Spinal Tap yourself. Has there ever been a moment in Doves where one of you has had such a ridiculous suggestion that management or a friend has had to say, no, I'm afraid you're not allowed to have a 21-gun salute on stage or something along those lines? Have you ever got too big for your boots?
Yeah, we've definitely ordered, can we have 18 oxygen tanks, please? An elephant and a juggler and a midget. But not denied. It was no go. We didn't have the budget.
One thing we do when we're on the show is we like to try and offer new bands a little bit of moral support if they've had a shocker of a gig over the weekend. So we could talk about some of the amazing gigs Doves have played, but what I'd love to know about is the worst show that you can remember. One that wakes you up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat. Just to offer that little bit of inspiration to bands who might have had a stinker at the weekend. What is Doves' worst gig?
We've had plenty of stinkers. We had one that was chaos. It was somewhere, God knows why we were doing it, but for some unbelievable reason, they put us on to support Nickelback in America. And we were given 5 minutes turnaround. So it was like one of these festivals. For some reason, we had 5 minutes to sort of get there, between bands and put our gear on. We couldn't hear ourselves. It was chaos. It was like in some of these awful sort of cattle pens kind of stadium. Couldn't hear ourselves, chaos. The audience weren't interested. It was like the front row were just eating hot dogs. Total disinterest. I couldn't hear myself. No one could hear themselves. And we kind of walked off after song three. It was a Nickelback audience. What are you going to do? Straight on the phone to the manager, go, why the hell? Why?
Oh, Jez, listen, thanks so much for sharing your pain with us. And it's great to have you back. Cannot wait for those dates next year.
Oh, thanks, Gordon. And before
you go, we've got to just give you a little Chinese burn and just ask you about new music. Can we hope for something next year? Can you give us a little teaser?
I can't, I'm afraid. But at the moment, we're just in a room enjoying each other's company, playing the old tunes at the moment. So, you know, we're hoping the waters are right, the planets are aligned, and we get that right vibe. You never say never, but at the moment we're just concentrating on playing the tunes at the moment. So
happy days, Jez, and thanks for Black Rivers as well. All been good fun in the last however many years. Great stuff, Jez.
No worries. Thanks, Gordon.
Appreciate that. There we have it. Jez Williams from the wonderful Doves, who are back next year. Three dates coming up. Royal Albert Hall, 29th of March. Noel at Heaton Park on the 7th of June. And Noel again, the Malahide Castle. And that goes on sale Thursday at 9 o'clock and then Friday at 9 o'clock as well. So brilliant stuff. Doves are back. Nice one, Jez.
Thank you very much.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Now, I'm very excited to tell you that we have got Legs Akimbo in the studio for a game of Slippery Jack, a bit of Go Johnny Go Go Go, the Canadian rules, BAFTA winning, RTS winning, and the Golden Rose of Montreux winning League of Gentlemen. Jeremy, Reese, Steve, Mark, lovely to see you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks for remembering those awards.
Did you remember them?
Yeah.
Very well. Mark, last time I saw you, gave me a row. I think I pronounced your name wrongly, but I couldn't remember which way around it was. So I just stuck to the first names.
Clever.
Go for it.
Gattis.
Oh, you...
No!
He was saying that was the wrong way to
I was say. Told downstairs.
By it's, whom? Who by, are these people?
Moggy, wasn't he said it's Gattis? I went, no,
idiot.
It's Gattis.
Think gay, I always do.
Ah, well, anyway, we are here. And the lads are here to celebrate the launch of a DVD just before Christmas. Well timed, lads.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. How did that happen? How did that happen? So, lads, you are off selling this DVD at the moment. So, have you spent a bit of time together getting your heads around how you're going to sell this? Who's the best at giving it the big sell? Come
okay.
on, Steve. Take your turn, Steve. Let's get the hard
well,
work done.
Actually, you say we've been, you know, selling the DVD. We've actually just finished doing the show because we only finished doing the tour at the end of September. Yeah. If I'm well,
correct,
right,
September 29th.
So it's been rushed out for Christmas, and we had a brilliant time all over the country. We did 47 dates, arenas, theatres, and it was the first live show we've ever done in 12 years. Wow. And I think the consensus was amongst the fans, it's the best live show we've done.
We've had a brilliant time going back. We did these three specials last year, yeah. And we agreed when we talked about doing those that we'd do some live dates to coincide because we started live. We always enjoyed doing it, and it's been brilliant sort of reconnecting with our audience. We've all got as old as we have, and we had a fantastic laugh. We really did. It was great.
What's the touring life like for the four of you? Are you well behaved? Do you clip your wings, and are you incredibly professional, or is it just a chance to be away from home?
Very boring.
Anodyne.
Really?
There's lots of tea shops.
There is. Slight legend, isn't it? Our first tours, our rider was ginger beer and jelly beans. Usually Pringles. That's about it.
I thought that was code for something, but it was actually ginger beer and jelly beans. Yeah.
We're always in bed.
I think that they are used to people requiring certain things that we didn't even understand. Yeah. It was like, and if you want anything, the tour manager said, if you want anything else, just, you can set up a private WhatsApp group and you can talk to me personally. So what are you talking about? I just want some crisps.
And it was hard enough to get the crisps.
I know.
And the taxis.
It sounds like crisps. It's the glue that holds this.
A lot of crisps.
Yeah. Particularly now, we're gentlemen of a certain age where crisps are a guilty pleasure.
Oh, yes.
It's not like when you're in your 20s and
you've got to be careful of the full English breakfast. Yes. Which is always on offer.
Hotels.
On tour.
You can't have it these days.
Oh, you have to have it. I think it's Gary Barlow said that you can judge any hotel in the world by the quality of its club sandwich.
Oh, right. Gosh. Yes. We were lucky to get sandwiches in some of them.
The that's glamour.
About half nine. Some food in this one of the places we're in. And he asked for gnocchi, didn't you?
Oh yeah, it was very
and, so North
it was a long
London.
Time coming, really late, about 45 minutes, ridiculous, and then it finally came, and it was the sauce, but no gnocchi in it. And he was sort of peering through it with his fork, and he said, "There's no gnocchi. Shall I say something?" We never were going to say anything. I said, "Yeah, tell him." And then the man came back, and he said, "Who's the problem?" He said, "I ordered gnocchi. And there's no gnocchi, and you want me to find some, do you?"
Yeah.
Yes. Strange. And he came back and said, "Is that all right for you now?" With the knocking.
Quite short.
And is that all right for you now, is it?
Yeah.
Like, he'd really demanded something.
Yeah.
Really
we were imagining, weren't we, he was rushing back the kitchen going,
"Well, what's knocking? I don't know. What does he mean?"
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was Circa Waves on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart with the Evening Show. And that song is called Movies. League of Gentlemen are here. Okay, Cokie Gentlemen. Now, I've got to see, when you go back 22 years, what was the thing that you wrote that you didn't expect to be successful but was? I think that's what I'm trying to ask. Yes. Was there one thing that has become incredibly popular that took you by surprise?
I think probably going back to the second series, we introduced this character of Papa Lazarou, and he was only in one episode, and he came and went, really, didn't he? And we were really surprised at how he took off, and how that catchphrase "Ella Dave," you know, that was being echoed around the country. It was only in one ep. Yeah. So I think that has to go down.
But it was so—that's that lovely thing, isn't it? It's such a ridiculously private joke, and the idea of everyone getting that.
Who wrote it? Who actually wrote it? Was it Reese?
It was a real thing. It was an amalgam of lots of real incidents that just sort of snapped together to make this creature.
Where's the most unusual place somebody has recited it to you? Because I think it's about once a week I say to my wife, "You're my wife now, Dave."
Yeah, I get it. I've had it in like urinals.
Yes.
That's the worst, you know. Not now. Actually, not over the top of the cubicle. Yeah. Not now, Dad.
This is probably a sensible place to ask for your help. Actually, I'm writing a book at the moment based on a terrible pun called Slash Gordon. And it was inspired by awkward conversations in the bathroom with famous people. Because you kind of have to say something, because it can be quite awkward in the bathroom. So it was inspired by a conversation with Sean Connery, my hero, and I just felt like I had to say something to him. So I said, "It's a real pleasure to meet you, Sean," and he just looked at me and said, "Now's not really the time, is it, Sean?" And I was thrilled. That was good enough for me. Would you please give me an entry to the book with your Slash Gordon entry?
Jack Straw.
Oh, Home Secretary.
I urinated next to at a Blackburn Rovers match once. He's a big fan, so am I. And we commented on the score. I can't remember what the game was now, but that was quite impressive.
That's great. That's Home. So that's, I think, one of the few politicians we've had. We've had John Major, so I can add him next to Jack Straw. It's good.
I'm pondering.
Look at Jeremy's lost in a world of
urinals. I always go in a cubicle. Like, so I'm never next to someone. Right. So I have to sit down to urinate.
Of course you do.
If there was someone next to you, it would be quite an issue, wouldn't it?
It would be. They'd be tight against me.
Andy has a photo of me in a Canadian urinal, which is one of
the... I thought you were going to say in a kimono.
It's one of his cherished possessions. Because I'm stood next to an elderly Japanese gentleman, and for some reason he thought it was the funniest thing.
Why was he taking pictures?
Arrested for that.
It's illegal to do that, actually. I have to thank you, actually, for the opening of the DVD where you have a newsstand billboard with Chris Morrell's bad breath.
Yeah.
Who's responsible?
Well, that's a long story. An updated running gag of 20 years, because we had
Ed Stewart's
breath in the original series, so we thought, who would be...
It's very, very complicated. Right, I think it's all on YouTube now, but there was this amazing documentary years ago, which we were all obsessed with, called I'm Your Number One Fan, with a lot of crazy fans on, but the particular one, this woman called Blue Tulip Rose Reed, who was obsessed with Mike Reed. Wow. And she'd come down to Classic FM, where he worked, and she says... suddenly there he is, Miss Mike Reed, oh, my heart throb. And Mike Reed has beautiful breath. Ed Stewart's breath stinks. And we just put it on the billboards in Royston Vasey.
One of my favourite things about League of Gentlemen was the little subtle jokes like that. One thing that makes me laugh again about once a week is the Gentleman's Art pamphlet, the Rude magazine, that just had dogs' arses on with the little asterisks on the dog's bottom.
Yeah.
Still makes me laugh.
Well, it's got to be classy, hasn't it?
Background.
Yeah.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X. League of Gentlemen are here at the moment, all looking thrilled to be here.
Yay!
That's what we needed. Lads, can I ask you, never mind about these amazing sellout tours that you've done and the 42 dates recently, what's the worst gig League of Gentlemen have ever performed?
I think early days when we were doing sketches alongside stand-up, so a stand-up can communicate very well with an audience, and then we come on shuffling chairs and trying to get the microphones down to our level.
Yeah.
And
we were telling that story earlier today about that one in King's Cross.
In the King's Cross pub, the Water Rats pub. And
venue, the Water Rats, wasn't it?
Yeah, the MC came on at the end and said, "Well, I told you they were intellectual." Because it played to absolute tumbleweed.
Silent, and it was Mau Mau, it was the Mau Mau gag, you know, that sketch when Jeff's telling the Mau Mau. And it was... You know, there's nothing wrong with it in context, but when you're just sort of at the end of a room and everyone's talking.
That's when we realised that we needed to have a proper night of our own. You couldn't do it like that, because it just...
Yeah, we were always the weakest thing on a bill of other stand-ups, because they were talking to the audience when we were doing our little
My abiding memory, though, is because we were all sitting down and the mics were on stands and they just started to sag.
Oh.
They were bending
As we were doing it, Steve was just kicking it with his foot to try and get it back up. Oh, my God.
Has there been a brilliant heckle or a terrible heckle that you can remember?
Well, the day of the performance, after we won the Perrier, We were in the first sketch, and Ronnie Corbett was in the audience. We were thrilled. And a man got up out of his seat and walked across. You had to walk across the stage to get out. Yeah. And just said, "Tripe!" and left in the door.
Brilliantly, we were in the middle of the sketch and Steve just flicked the knees into like that. Completely.
I have no comeback other than an animal reaction.
Are you alright to stick around a little bit longer, gentlemen?
Yes. Of course we are.
Absolutely. More from Mark, Steve, Reese, and Jeremy in just a second. League of Gentlemen, after this.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The League of Gentlemen are here. I'm thrilled about that because you've actually. Being serious for a second, helped me through a really dark moment in my life. I was editing a newspaper in Scotland during the horrible independence referendum, and we would often put on the League of Gentlemen to cheer ourselves up on the back bench in the nights of absolute misery. And one of our favourites was Psychoville as well, the Tina Turner sketch we'd often...
Yeah,
when things were really bad, that's what we did. So thank you very much for that.
Can I ask you for a
Spinal Tap story? I'd imagine there are moments where you could get carried away with the production in League of Gentlemen. You know, if you've got a wife mine with Papa Lazarou and you're creating the series and then there's a decision to make about how much that idea is going to cost. Has management or have you had a conversation where you've said, that's ridiculous, that's gone far too Spinal Tap?
I mean, that was... We wrote that at the end. It was suddenly like, can we even achieve a wife mine? What is a wife mine? And then they went out their way to try to, you know, make it... look as we did, and Bendelack did a good job filming it, but I don't think there's anything. I mean, we are careful in what we write, and you probably shouldn't be. You shouldn't curtail your vision when you're writing it, but because we've been doing it 20 years, you know what it's like when you say we'll be driving along in a car and we'll have a conversation like, no you won't.
Yeah.
Instantly that's too expensive to drive along in a car, so we'd be pulled up in a lay-by having a conversation. Yes, we can do that.
Do we need two people?
Yeah,
is that a monologue? Could it just be in his head?
They did balk at the idea of getting a gorilla with Mr. Chinnery and taking a seed sample from the gorilla. They did balk at the expense of trying to do that.
They didn't want to do that, did they?
They had some kidnapped characters who had been kidnapped by Papa Lazarou and they were all inside an elephant. And that really is something we strive to actually show it. We actually went inside an elephant with all these characters.
That was born out of that brilliant joke about the man that gets the job in the zoo and as a bear or something, and he falls into the and he agrees to do it reluctantly. He falls into the lion pen and is screaming to get out, and then the lion comes running up and says, "Shut up, you want to get his old sack."
Everybody.
The DVD is out right now. I should do some more work related stuff here. It was filmed at Hammersmith Apollo. It's about an hour and 45 minutes long as well. It was brilliantly done though. I was so impressed by it. You know, make sure you buy the DVD for somebody in your life this Christmas. It's absolutely outstanding. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great to see you, Mark.
Thanks for having us.
See Steve, Reese, Jeremy, lovely men, absolutely brilliant stuff. Can I just ask one last thing before you go, Reese? Would you give me a little bit of Eni Kamosi Hot Stepper from Carshare before you go?
Yeah, he come down stepper, a little dance flap.
That was just a little personal thing I wanted to do. Thank you very much, League of Gentlemen.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
That was the Evening Show podcast, and I've just been corrected on Joe Lice. It's 30, Jess.
30. He was born 1988.
I'd ID him every time, wouldn't you? In fact, I'd ID both of you as well, actually. Thank you very much for listening. If you're feeling generous, please leave a review, tell all of your friends, and we'll be back with another one next week.
Radio X.